right. Well, we're here with the gorgeous and fabulous Becky G.
Hello.
Becky, guess what? I was in Milan the same time you were in Milan.
Fashion Week was insane, I must say. It was my first Fashion Week.
The whole city was, like, on fire. Like, everywhere you went, there were these fashion shoots and models and, like,
lots going
limos
on.
And stuff. I'm sure you were, like, front and center. Which shows did you see?
Were
you on the on the runway?
Oh, my God, I wish. I don't know. Maybe in the future soon. I would hope so. I hope they'd give a shorty like myself a chance.
Oh, right. Well, I saw Dua Lipa was doing something.
Yeah, and so then I actually, you're next. I got to see her in the Versace show, which was
amazing.
Insane. Like, so incredible to witness. She's just, like, killing it. I mean, music-wise. And then on top of that, it was really cool because, you know, Gigi made a really strong comeback to the runways, and that's her sister-in-law. So, like, just
Dua
seeing
Lipa's
both of them.
Sister-in-law?
Yeah, she's
what?
There. Dua Lipa's dating Gigi's brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a small world.
I know. So it was really cool to see. But yeah, I got to go to the Versace show. I went to a show for Marnie, which was really interesting and very, like, pushing the envelope as far as the standard shows go.
Mm-hmm.
They made it like a 360 experience and kind of like a social experiment as well, with a lot of musical elements, which I found really cool to experience on my first Fashion Week.
That's neat. I like how it's more of an art exhibit. It's like a moving art exhibit. Fashion.
Literally. Yeah. Then I got to go to the Armani show, which was really cool as well.
That's so neat.
Yeah.
We went to the Prada Museum, and then it was like, the museum is closed because we're having a huge thing. And so we got to see everybody walk in. So we didn't plan it, but we were there at the Prada show.
That's cool.
The walking in part. So that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
So now you're back and you're busy already. Like, you're like me. You don't take a break.
We don't, which, I mean, is another thing that we could probably talk about, which is, what do you do for self-care? Because I need some advice.
Oh my gosh. You know what? This year, I kind of feel like I'm reaching my limit of overextending myself. And I'm just realizing that life is a little bit ephemeral and going fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't schedule the time off, it's never going to happen. So now I think I want to schedule off like a weekend or a week every month. Is that too much?
No. I think that's what normal people do, actually. Yeah. I just had this conversation with one of my managers because I came to the same realization this year that sometimes it's good to stop and smell the roses. Or maybe not even just stop and smell the roses, but stop and really acknowledge what's not so great in life, you know?
Yeah.
And not to be pessimistic in any way, but just so you can really take care of, you know, parts of yourself that maybe are calling out for that type of care.
Yes.
And so I told my team, I'm like, hey, this holiday season is usually when we get really busy and other people start slowing down. I kind of want to see what it's like on the other side. Can we start slowing down? And then we got some emails from, you know, some partners of ours with other opportunities. And I didn't hear about them. And they're like, well, you didn't hear about them because you said you wanted time off. And I was like, well, I think we should still consider. And then they were like, absolutely not. We do this every single time. You ask us for time off. And then by the time we know it, you don't take it because you know, the opportunities keep coming. And so I think one of the greatest lessons I've learned is not every opportunity is the right opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
And then when you try to do everything because you have fear of missing out or you feel like,
mm-hmm.
oh, but it's so good, then you're running around so much you don't even stop to enjoy the moment. So.
Exactly.
I think this will be my year of, like, being more selective with which things I do and also, like, really understanding that my life is going to go. If I don't stop and enjoy it, I'm going to just suddenly be, like, 70 years old one day and have wished to have traveled to Milan and done these things. And then, you know what? I always see people doing stuff on the weekends and weekdays. You go to a restaurant weekdays and restaurants are full. And you're like, who are these people that have time to enjoy so much?
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. I think about that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, who are these people driving places that have time to sit in restaurants on a weekday? Like, this will be Tuesday. We went out to Bestia in L.A., this restaurant.
Oh, really good.
It was a Tuesday night.
Packed.
It was a work dinner. And we thought, like, nobody will be there. It was packed.
Yep.
So I'm like, all these people are living their lives and just, like, having a blast. And here I am, like, work. It's so great to have a work ethic, but I need to have that same passion for like creativity and enjoyment and, you know,
getting inspired.
Inspiration. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. You're a creative type, but so you must have that need to just like have creative time.
Yeah, I think it's important. I learned in order to write about life, you have to live it.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Exactly what you said. I think too, it's just a reflection of where society is, where people are today, that we just don't stop consuming things. And yeah, because it's such a high demand, the supply is very low when you're a creative person because you need time to create the supply. And I don't know if it's just creative people anymore that kind of struggle with that. I think it's the average person now who just becomes a victim of their own, you know, like you said, work ethic. And it's like, well, if I don't do it, who else will?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for a lot of our, you know, women, a lot of our youth, especially who come from minority communities, that pressure is very heavy.
Immigrant families, very young age. Right? Because, like, our parents were so hardworking. Never stopped to relax and enjoy, even to this day.
Like, yeah.
I think my parents work so, so hard. And that's part of me. But I also realize, like, you need time to... I haven't been taking care of my health good enough. Mm. And, like, I'm in the middle of all this beauty and lasers, cap heels, and things that I don't even ever do on myself. Mm-hmm. Being honest, like,
at the
end of the day, I'm like, I'd love to do a thermi on myself.
Right.
But I'd rather go home because I haven't seen my kids. So
So, it's one of those you got to make sure you're practicing what you preach type thing, you know?
Exactly. And I think, like you said, you're a content creator, as am I. And you also are passionate about, like, you have to be passionate about making content. You have to have a voice. Like,
yes.
If you're a creative type, like, I always have something to say. I don't understand don't know what to do or what to do next, or like, I don't know what to say. Like, I always have some topic I want to chat about and discuss.
Yeah, but I think too, part of always having something to say is also being a good listener. Because for me, I realize that I am very like observant. I love people. And that's something that I really got to think about during the quarantine, which is, why do I love what I do so much? Because it actually makes me sick sometimes, physically, emotionally, mentally. It makes me ill. And it manifests in ways that are not very healthy for me when I'm working so much. So why do I love it? Let me really break this down. And I realize that it's not the music itself or the acting gig itself or, you know, the podcast opportunities, talk show opportunities themselves that I love. It's the connection, the connection with people that I love so, so, so much and that I'm very passionate about. And part of being a good speaker, I think, is first being a good listener. Mm-hmm. You have to really listen to what people, sometimes what they're saying and sometimes what they're not saying.
Right.
And I think that is one of, like, my greatest observations in this time, which is just like, wow, I want to listen more. I want to listen to those around me, to what they're saying, what they're not saying, what their actions are saying. To just, like I said, get inspired again.
I love that idea.
I love to do podcasts. How did you like doing your podcast over the pandemic? Where could people listen to that?
It was a podcast that I did with Amazon, which was really cool. It was called En La Sala, and it's still available on their platforms, and we got to do so many cool things with it, and I got to interview dear friends of mine and also, like, really big, big people. One of my biggest interviews, which was interesting as a host, you know, being new. Usually I'm used to being interviewed versus interviewing someone. And I found myself interviewing our vice president, Kamala Harris.
Really?
Yes.
What?
And it was stressful. It's not every day you get to phone in via Zoom with the, at the time she was our a candidate to be the vice president. Uh-huh. And I got to speak to her, you know, about the things that I think are very important to me that I'm passionate about when it comes to immigration and when it comes to our communities, you know. And one of the biggest things for me is that, and someone asked me the other day, you know, how do you think, I was out of the country, right? So it just gives you perspective on the states, on the United States of America and how people perceive us from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's our greatest strength, you know, being, you know, the land of the free, home of the brave, having our own independence is also sometimes our greatest weakness, because we get so self-minded and we start forgetting about the we and not just focusing on the me, you know? And someone asked me, so what's your current take on your current state of nation? And I was like, well, that goes to tell you how privileged I am, because I'm in another country. I don't technically have to think about it right now, you know, versus there's a lot of other individuals who come from communities like the ones I grew up in, and that I come from, that are affected on a daily basis by things that are very pressing and very important. And I said, it's not just the face or the name, of the government that I'm passionate about. It's actually the system, you know, because the face and the name changes all the time. It's the system itself that needs, you know, real deep diving and the fundamentals to be kind of revised to what I think we need today as a society and as a community of very, very, very mixed, you know, cultures and people, and just really inspiring, you know, us to be the great thing that a lot of people on the outside have perceived our country to be. Yeah. You know?
This is Latin Heritage Month, right?
Yes, it is.
What are you doing for that?
Well, I always say I don't just celebrate it.
You live it.
I live it on a 365 days a year type of thing. It's cool to have a month, but I, you know, 12 months also isn't too bad. And I think, you know, I try to celebrate my culture every single day. In all honesty, I just lost my grandfather on my dad's side, and we were very, very close. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, lived such an incredible life where he impacted so many people. And part of our heritage and who I am is really because of my grandparents, you know. So I think this time around, celebrating feels a little different. Mm-hmm. Has a different meaning, another layer of depth, I think, that I wasn't as connected with before. And I considered myself to be very connected, you know.
I don't even know how you have this maturity level. You are, like, so so young. It's like you were born to a 30-year-old. And then you just morphed, and now you have, like, the wisdom of an 80-year-old.
You know, I think it's this thing called trauma that we don't talk about very often in our communities. Or a lot of our youth has to grow up so quickly because of that, you know. And it's a beautiful thing that we can turn our pain into incredible things. But I, like I told you, sometimes it's good to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes it's good to stop and acknowledge the pain, you know, and the maturity that we have or the pride that we carry comes from a lot of sacrifice and a lot of that pain, you know.
School of hard knocks. I think a lot of modern kids don't understand how much pain and suffering goes into becoming, you know, a fully mature individual and, like, an accomplished person like yourself or like myself. It takes years of sweat and tears.
Yeah.
Lots of tears and lots of sweat.
Lots of tears. I also think that there's a lot of youth that maybe believes that they're not worthy of the opportunity, nor do they even know that the opportunities are out there.
They don't even.
Because they're never exposed to them.
They don't even put their foot in the door. Mm-hmm. It's like, if only, even my own children, my own daughters, I'm like, just apply for that job. Just put your foot
just
in the door.
Just do it.
Once you get in there, they'll know how good you are. But, like, a lot of people don't have the confidence to even just.
Yeah.
Try.
Yeah.
That's the hardest. Mm-hmm. That is the hardest. Do you have any advice for young women out there, young men who are...
Yeah. Or what we were talking about before, which is whatever you identify as, because there's also individuals who don't identify with neither or identify with one more than the other. I would say just to anyone out there, really, that it's never too late. Like, no matter the age... Whether you're young or, you know, someone who thinks that it's too late, it's definitely you that's getting in your own way. Yeah. So, like, my advice would be to stop getting in your own way and just go for it. Just really go for it.
I think each person who has decided that, like, at some point you have a conversation with yourself. I don't remember when I had it, but I know I've had that talk with myself. Like, life is going to happen whether you get up and try or don't try. Like, why not just risk it and just go for it and put, you know, try to be your best self.
Yep.
Take a risk and an opportunity. But
yep.
I remember telling myself that, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Like, you think you're embarrassed, you're shy, you're not good enough, you feel imposter syndrome, and you have to just say, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah. It's so funny you said imposter syndrome, because it's something that I learned about, like, 4 years ago. And just now I feel like people are really starting to talk about it. And that's what I was mentioning about, like, labels. You know, I hate labels. I hate boxes. I hate when someone says, oh, well, you do this, so you got to stay in this box, you know. But at the same time, I think labels are really important to, like, educate and identify what it is that we feel sometimes. And when I discovered what imposter syndrome was and really did a deep dive into, you know, what that feels like. It's like, wow, this is something that my grandparents even experienced. This is something that my parents probably experienced in their own way. And same, you know, with myself and in my own ways. And it's really, really cool to be able to have these conversations, because I don't know, maybe someone who's listening to this is hearing about imposter syndrome for the first time. And I don't know, I encourage you to...
Yeah, like, you might think that, you know, Dr. K and Becky G just turned out this way without going through that phase. But let me assure you, my first time I lectured, went to a big giant meeting, first time in the operating room surrounded by a bunch of old white guys. Yeah, you feel imposter syndrome.
Yeah. You're
like, I'm a woman, I'm a surgeon, I want to be a surgeon. Like,
yeah, I don't belong here.
Do I belong? Do I have a voice here? It's crazy. You have to learn to teach yourself, like, yes. Yep. Stand up for who you are, and you may not be perfect, but you fake it till you make it.
For real.
On the stage, too, I imagine, right?
Oh, definitely.
We talked about a long time ago, like, this is why you and I have gray hair. Because, like, that immediate that fight stress, or flight.
Oh, remember? Man, it's like, real.
The stress of being put in fight or flight situation, being on a stage, or being, like, in an operating room ready to operate. That's what does it to you, but... You kind of have to put yourself in those situations, too, to grow.
Yep, 100%.
So true. Well, I can't thank you enough for chatting with us today.
No, it's so thank fun you for always having me, you. Always.
She's always taking such great care of her skin. Are you loving our skincare lately?
Always, definitely. Although the travel to Europe definitely gave me a couple little friends that we have to take care of.
A little bit of breakouts. You're always in so much makeup. How's your makeup line doing?
It's doing so good. Tres Luces killing it. It's really exciting. You know, just I think the creator in me was nervous knowing that within the beauty space, there's so many people releasing brands and products of their own, but the fan of the beauty space and the makeup consumer in me, who's, you know, always buying makeup, knows that I can never have enough of it. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm getting in my own way, doubting if I'm capable of doing this. And I'm so happy that I did it, because although it's growing, you know, gradually, and it's still very small, it's something that, like, I find so much inspiration in and excitement in, and
so much joy. You need to sell it at your concerts. Oh my god!
Imagine that. That's
are
actually very
that?
Interesting.
Like, why aren't you doing that?
Well,
you
concerts aren't
that.
Really happening right now. You know, they're happening, but they're not happening. You know, promoters and
they're not consistent.
Yeah,
yet.
It's
but,
not
but
consistent
But then you have
yet.
Time to gear up. Okay, we're gonna have Becky G makeup.
I love that.
You should do it. I totally would buy it. I did a t-shirt plus the eyeshadow that matches.
Love that. Right, well, it's hard, you know, we're still in a pandemic, so I think people are really deciding if they can even buy concert tickets or if they can pay their, you know, bills. That's the reality that we're facing as a society, and I think it's important to recognize that, you know?
That is true. I felt very safe traveling all throughout Europe. I thought that their system...
They do so good.
So much better than us. Like, they told everyone get vaccinated and everyone listened.
Well, Italy, I mean, was, like, one of the places...
Because it was one of the places they were hardest hit.
It was
hit.
Mandated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, you can't enter our country unless you are vaccinated and have a test.
Like, every restaurant, you had to show your vaccine card.
Every
store you want to go into, vaccine card. I think that was... great. That's what we need to be doing. Like, I love personal choice, and I think that the vaccine's not right for everybody, but if you're going to be out and about, then you've got to be protected. So that was awesome. Well, that's it for now, beauty. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for everybody for listening to our 5-Minute Friday with Becky G, all about confidence and imposter syndrome and putting yourself out there.
Yes.
And then taking a good long break.
And taking breaks when necessary, for
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. All right, that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.